Good morning, Fort McMurray, with Buffalo and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
How's it going, you guys? It's Jake White, JJW, coming at you from Norrell Toyota in Fort McMurray. Just wanted to say hi and come on down, check the place out.
Hi, my name's Richard. I'm the service manager here at Norrell Toyota.
Hi there, I'm Adam. I'm here at Norrell Toyota. I'm a product advisor.
Hi, I'm Cass. I'm the appointment coordinator. Happy to help you.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. As you've seen, you met all my staff. These guys are all my family. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
And we are back. Big shout out to Norrell Toyota. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job of that than myself. So can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
Who I am? I'm Liz McDonald. I'm a staff sergeant with the RCMP here in Fort McMurray. I have 23 years service, 14 of which has been here in Fort McMurray.
Okay.
I have lived in, let me think, over the last 30 years, Swan Hills, Alberta, Yellowknife, Northwest Territories, Rankin Inlet, Nunavut, Cardston, Alberta, Cochrane, Prince Albert here.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And so your longest stint has been Fort McMurray then, like right now?
Yes. Yeah.
Really interesting. So all of the moving around, you obviously, well, there's no obvious. I don't know how it works. Do you get told you have to move? Do you ask to be placed somewhere else? How does that all work?
You can sort of be a little bit of both. I met my husband in Vegreville, and we had asked for the transfers. We sort of thought it would be really interesting to check out different communities. Okay. And and then we got here and it's, you know, we're sort of set.
That's
our kids are here, my grandson's here, so
this
is where we are.
That's wild.
Exactly.
And so what in your youth do you think made you want to be a police officer in your adult life?
You know, the only thing that I can really think of was, I remember in high school, we had a female RCMP come to give a talk, and I had to escort her, you know, to the classroom or whatever. And, well, you know, I'm pretty short, but she was really tall. And I don't know, there was something about her. I looked at her and I thought, man, I would love to do that. It's the only thing I ever dreamed of doing, but I initially never thought it was something I could do because of my size.
Okay.
And then in Yellowknife, I started seeing, you know, women my size that were police officers, and it's like, wow,
okay,
I can do that. And so I did, I guess.
Very cool. Yeah. So roughly, like, what age were you when you decided to, like, become an RCMP officer?
I was 32.
Okay.
I started later. Yeah.
All right. So what kind of career were you in prior to this?
Pretty much, you know, whatever I could get wherever we went. I think I worked in a drugstore. I worked in a Sears outlet. I worked in an addiction center, cooking, cleaning. I worked for the RCMP in their telecommunications. So telecoms, where you phone the police, they answer the phone. I did that.
Yeah.
Went to Rankin Inlet, and I managed all the dental services for the Kuwaitan region of the Northwest. It would have been Northwest Territories then. It's now Nunavut.
Right.
And then I went down to Cardston, and I was a customs inspector. And that's when I seemed to have a lot of people that said, like, why don't you join the RCMP? And then I guess I sort of thought, oh, why not? On a whim, I applied, and in less than a year I was in training. So I've done a lot of different things.
That's really, really interesting. Good for you.
You must have seen some wild things at customs.
It was cool. I enjoyed it.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
I had a buddy who lived up in Nunavut. He was a firefighter, and he would describe it going dark.
Oh, yeah.
Can you elaborate on when it goes dark up there?
Well, yeah, most of the time it's you know, you go to work and it's dark out, and you go home and it's dark out. And like for me, being in an office, when the light was out there, like you do get a lot of people with the seasonal depression,
mm-hmm.
but take vitamins and you're pretty much good. And then in the summertime, it's really interesting because it's pretty much always light.
Right.
You get sort of dusk at night, mm-hmm. but it never really goes down.
Yeah.
And it was pretty funny with our kids. It was, okay, it's bedtime. Well, no, it's still light out.
Right.
It doesn't get dark. Go to bed.
Right.
So yeah, it was good. It was interesting.
Yeah, I know. The thing for me is, like, we're in Fort McMurray filming this, so we have somewhat similar kind of light winter and whatnot. But when he moved up there, he called me. He's like, Elliot, it's nothing like Fort McMurray. Like, it's a different type of light. It's a different type of dark. He was just like, which to me, like, we're far up north. It's hard for me to kind of imagine going up higher and having those days stretch out like that.
Mm-hmm.
So during the daytime, like, what would you guys do in regards to, like, did you black out your windows at night, or like, did you just have really solid blinds? Like, how did that work?
Tinfoil. Yeah. Just black out your blinds.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's you don't get a really good solid sleep, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So easy. Cool. And your children with all this moving around. Well, I guess they've had 14 years stationary, but they were there prior. You said you had kids up there.
Yeah.
What has that been like for them, from your perspective, obviously?
You know, I actually think that it was. I never really thought about how it would affect them, but I think that after a while. It was difficult for them, you know, always starting over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my daughter's a lot more outgoing. My son's a little more reserved. But yeah, you know what? I don't actually think it was easy for them when you look back.
Right.
Sort of when you're doing it, you're going through it. You don't really think about that or realize it. But mm-hmm. yeah, I think it was tough on them.
Yeah. Interesting. But they're both here in Fort McMurray?
Yeah.
And are they in school or out of school? You said you have a grandchild, so one is in out of school, obviously. I'm assuming.
Yeah. No, my kids are 35 and 31.
Okay.
So, yeah, they both work. My daughter is an apprentice auto mechanic, and my son is a journeyman electrician.
Cool. And they've made Fort McMurray home?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome. So both kids are here. So you are going to retire here.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You never know what tomorrow brings, but that's sort of the plan.
Right.
Yeah. I don't really have a lot of plans on that.
Okay. And so you were moving from the conversation. I'm assuming your husband is RCMP as well?
He was. He's retired.
Okay.
And now he has another job here.
Okay. Yeah. And so you guys are obviously very adventurous. You don't mind moving around. You don't mind starting fresh. Your job horrifies me. I could not do it. Like, the nerves walking into every situation. So thanks for doing what you do. But in your retirement, what are you guys going to do to fuel that inner kind of passion you guys have for adventure?
We like to travel. Yeah. Here, we love getting out on the land and going camping up north. I don't think people realize the beauty of the area. Mm-hmm. You know, you hit the Fort Chip Winter Road, go up on side-by-sides, you know, bring your tents and everything and go up camping. You've got the crystal clear lake water, sand beaches. Yeah, it's amazing. And it's really cool that not a lot of people go there or really know what it offers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are adventuring like it's back in the day. Like, just like...
I got a cot, man. And I sleep on the ground.
Okay. So, like, what kind of tent are you guys in?
A 14-man tent. Like, a little bit of space there.
Oh, a big one.
Yeah.
Okay.
We set it up, man.
I'm the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. I did about 3 weeks of camping this summer, and I have just like a little North Face Roadrunner tent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like for two people. I just have like my little mattress, that air mattress that you like blow up by yourself, a pillow in my sleeping bag. And then like I'm minimalistic, but because back in the day, my dad never let me camp when I was a kid. I'd ask him to camp, and my parents are immigrants. So he would say like, why are you pretending to be poor? I was like, it's not pretending to be poor. I wanna camp. He's like, no, I worked really hard to sleep in a nice, comfortable bed. Like, we're not camping. Yeah. So when I finally did get to camp, I was in my mid-20s, and like I just balled out. I got the big tent and everything, and then in the middle of the night, not enough body heat. I was freezing. So the smaller tents, I find for me, keeps me warmer. So how are you keeping warm in a huge tent?
A nice big sleeping bag and fuzzy blankets.
Okay, so you pack for comfort when you go there.
Oh yeah.
Like people know how to camp.
Right?
Yeah, no, like even this summer we went to a music festival in America, and literally what I describe is what we brought. Mm. And because we flew there, we couldn't even bring seats. So we had like a canopy that we would like have a, like as a living room, but you just sat on the floor. Mm. For the 7 days, we were just like roughing it. Mm-hmm. It was cool. It helped my back, so big shout out to that.
Yeah.
So outside of camping and kind of exploring the north, is there any like locations you want to get on a plane and fly to and check out?
I'm going on an Amazon cruise.
Explain that. Yeah. Where in the Amazon? Like where
off
you start?
The Amazon River.
Like my parents are from Guyana, South America, so like I've been through the Amazon, and so like when I would start in Guyana, you'd start on the Essequibo and then like work your way down. Is there any like what country are you starting this cruise in?
The U.S. in Florida.
Okay.
So we'll go down the down the coast to the Amazon River and then up.
I'm gonna tell my parents about this. My dad and mom love cruises.
What kind of boat are you in that it can fare the sea and make it through a river? Yeah. Like I know the Amazon River is big, but you're not taking a cruise ship through there. Like
I think pretty much, yeah. Like I don't know if it's the largest of the ships.
Yeah, I was gonna say we're not taking like the Oasis of the Sea through there. Like
I've been on the Oasis of the Sea. That thing is wild.
Yeah.
So it must be like Viking or something then, hey?
You know what?
Yeah.
My I just follow my husband.
Yeah. Yeah,
he plans this stuff, man.
Yeah. You're just the visitor, hey?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell my parents. My parents literally it was my dad's goal to sail around the world. And the only place he hasn't hit yet, which I think he's doing this year, is Antarctica.
Oh, wow.
So, but they've never really done cruises like within a country per se. They did one in Europe and Russia and stuff, but I'm gonna tell them about the South American one because they might be into that, because they just like a few years ago went to Peru, and obviously living in that country they've explored, but I don't know if they've ever done it on water. That's cool. Your husband in his retirement, what's he doing to like not drive you crazy?
Oh, he goes to work every day.
Oh, yeah.
He got a job.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
You don't get to travel without jobs.
Right.
Right?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Because, like, I know my dad's retired and he watches Netflix, so he needs a job. A hobby is a good thing to have.
Yeah.
Okay. So he went back to work then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Your dad should be the world's worst Walmart greeter.
Yeah. Facts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big shout out to Gregory Pierre. I love you, Dad. So when you were raising your kids here in Fort McMurray, obviously with all the traveling, you stayed still for 14 years. So what about this community made you say, like, you know what? I'm going to put some roots down here.
You know, I don't know. We came on the 5-year plan like a lot of other people do. And just stayed, like we just, you know, went on living, and I found that you know, both of us we care about the community. You know, it's incredibly diverse. It offers a lot. I think that we started getting involved in a lot more things. Things like Past You Place. That was work-wise, when we were setting up drug treatment court here in Fort McMurray, Past You Place became our service provider for all of our drug court participants and the programming. And I think when you see all the incredible work that they do and how they help people, how they people get their lives back. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they're, you know, they're a slave to the addiction for so long, and you know, these are the people that they understand. They know what to do to help them, how to get them the best support. And I think that it's really things like that that, you know, just sort of give you that passion and you want to stay, you want to be part of it. I don't know if you know about Drug Treatment Court that we have in town.
Elaborate for everybody who doesn't.
Right? It's we've had it for just a couple years, and it's when you have people that are committing crimes for the sole purpose of fueling a drug addiction. It's, you know, they go to court, they have to be responsible for what they've done, accountable, plead guilty to the things that they've done, and then we, past you takes over, they go into pre-treatment, they go to treatment, we do everything we can to help them get through it. If they need their driver's license back, if, you know, health-wise, they go to treatment. After that, it's, you have to get back in regards to working. Mm. You know, support them in all of, in everything they need. Mm. But, you know, the main is the recovery, but you have a choice. You can go to jail because you've committed these crimes that you have to be accountable for, or we will send you to treatment and support them through it. I know that we've had some clients that sort of said, you know, I've tried this before and I wasn't successful. Yeah. But with drug treatment, you have the justices, the Crown prosecutors, the federal prosecutors, legal aid, probation, RCMP, Pascu Place. You've got a community around you that is supporting you to get your life back.
Yeah.
And to recover. And the biggest thing about this is 92% of the people that make it through never reoffend. They don't commit crimes anymore. This is the only thing that's proven to work. Hmm. Is most crimes are all about addiction. It's drugs, alcohol, you know, drunk drive, whatever you want to call it. It's there. Mm. This is the only thing to sort of break the cycle. So it's an amazing program. And it, for me, for so many years, I see the same thing over and over. Somebody gets caught, they go to jail, they get out, they do the same thing. And even with the best intentions, when you go, don't give people the tools, they don't have anything to make the changes. Mm-hmm. They might want to,
right?
But it's an awful disease.
Yeah.
And so they need the community to be behind them, right?
Yeah, that's fair enough. Very cool. Now listen, Tanner tapped his phone though, so that means you got to get ready for his questions for the Max City Minute, brought to you by Carrie and Patchouli Rose. Tanner, hit her with the Max City Minute.
All right, question number one for you today: what is one thing you wish police shows would stop getting wrong?
That police shows would stop getting wrong?
Yeah.
Tests, you know, that take months normally, aren't, you don't get the results in 15 minutes. Mm.
Question number two: what is your favorite part of starting anew in so many different places?
Meeting new people, yeah.
Question number three: if you had to go back and take a different career path, what would you want it to be?
No idea. I like this one. Yeah.
Question number four: if you could have any animal as a pet, what would you choose?
A raccoon.
What the heck?
Question number five: what is your go-to snack to eat on a break?
Like Fig Newtons.
Those have been your five questions.
And we're out of time, unfortunately. Mm. So, man, raccoon. All right. Mm. Well, before I cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout-out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
I would like to shout out in regards to our community. We need more people to know about Pastview Place and what they do for our community and how they make the changes in people getting their lives back, having recovery, but they need our support. So they need our support in regards to funding, to, you know, it gets expensive right now with grocery prices, feeding everybody. So clothes, food, cash donations can be given on their website. And you know what? We can't help people if people don't know that we're there. In regards to recovery, you don't have to be committing crimes to decide that you want something different and your life to change. So you can do that. Or if you are in the cycle of committing crimes to fuel an addiction, drug treatment court, you can apply with us and we will do everything that we can do to try and help people.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, for McMurray Wood Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Max City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for tuning in. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Neural Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker. Hope everybody at home is having a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
Hi, everyone. It's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst.